First Peter chapter 3, and we are going to be reading verses 1 through 6. First Peter chapter 3, 1 through 6. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. The Lord's blessings are already added to His Word. May it be sanctified to our hearts. Shall we bow our heads? O send Thy Spirit, Lord, now unto me, that He may touch our eyes and make us see. Show us the truth concealed within Thy Word and in Thy book revealed. May we see Thee, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Blessed Mother's Day to you mothers. Trust that this would be a blessed one. I don't necessarily believe in happiness, because happiness is the taste of Kent. Those of you who are old enough know that Kent is a cigarette, and that used to be the commercial. But may this be a blessed one for you. The title of my discourse, message to you today is, when a woman, wife or mother, is spiritually attractive, she glorifies God.
Amen. Amen.
Wife or mother, a woman, is spiritually attractive, she glorifies God. The theme of this Mother's Day message that I was asked to speak on is mothers and wives glorifying God in their duties at home. The goal of every Christian is to glorify God.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. The glory of God is the last thing in the mind of many women today. I don't believe that is true for you or for most of you here today, because your desire as a Christian is to glorify God. Amen. This is the age of individualism and personal rights. It is the age of the women's movement, women's right, feminism, the empowering of women. Focus today is self-empowerment for women. At best, it is to make women feel good about themselves. At worst, it is to throw off the domination of men. So, in most of our humanistic mindset, and what most of that has been crept into the church as well, because churches are having empowerment seminars. As though you need somebody to empower you. As though you don't have the power in the world. We are told that there is wonder-working power in what? In the blood, not in a seminar. But there are confusion, particularly in the church today. The theme of from the second chapter, from chapter 2 of the text up to our text, chapter 2 of this first epistle of Peter, the theme is that of submission. Submission. Submission of God's people to one another. Amen. Not just the submission of women to men, but submission of God's people. As a matter of fact, if you look at chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. There is an interesting dialogue, concern as far as Ephesians chapter 5 is concerned. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. But we often sort of leave that part out. Particular men, and we like to jump to verse 21. Wives, submit to your husband. Verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 5 is the culmination of being filled with the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit emanates into mutual submission. But the concept of wives submitting to their husbands is the recognition or acknowledgement of headship. We have a way of twisting scriptures or ignoring parts of scriptures because it does not suit our fancy. So, what we are going to talk about today is the idea of wife's submission to their husband. With the understanding that submission to one another is a Christian ideal. Amen. Not a dirty word. Not a bad word. It's a Christian ideal. We submit to one another But the structure of the home, the structure of the church, is such that God has put men in the leadership role and call upon women to recognize that and therefore submit. When a wife, a mother, submits herself in a godly way to her husband, she glorifies God. Let me say it again. When a wife, mother, a woman, submits herself in a godly way, she glorifies God. Underline that, because a lot of submission, you coerce somebody to submit, God don't get any glory out of that. I'm doing it this one time. I'm submitting this one time, but it's just because I don't want to lose my cool. No, God doesn't get anything out of that. All right, so let's explore the passage before us. Number one, a spiritually attractive wife or mother, spiritually attractive woman who glorifies God because she has an admirable attitude. A spiritually attractive woman glorifies God because she has an admirable attitude. Verses 1 and 2 of the text. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husband. I just explained to you that the "in the same way" is a continuation of the exhortation for believers to submit to one another. And that the particular emphasis, our particular emphasis, is that wives ought to acknowledge the leadership position of their husband. If a wife acknowledges the leadership role or the God-given leadership position of her husband, she will submit willingly. She don't have to be coerced or forced. She will submit willingly because she desires to glorify God. And she submits willingly because she wants to be a blessing. Because she wants to communicate something, a message. The result of a wife's willing submission, look at the text with me. The result of a wife's willing submission is so that if any of them, that is the husband, do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. Notice that. The reason, the purpose for a wife to express willing submission is to win her husband. Amen. To influence him. Now, inherent in that statement is the attitude of the wife. Inherent in the statement is how the wife goes about the submitting. Because she has in mind to impress upon her husband that she is a child of God. Amen. That's the implication. That's the the suggestion within the statement. She wants to communicate to her husband that she is submitting to him, not because she has to, but because she wants to. Now I must make some clarification here. What submission is not? What biblical submission is not? Biblical submission is not slavish or mindless obedience to any man or to anything. We must keep in mind as Christians that our primary obedience is to God and not to man. The primary obedience, ladies, is to God, not to your husband, but to God. Acts 5:21, we must obey God rather than man. So then, if your husband claims your dog or your cat on your joint return and ask you to sign it, you are not to sign it. For if you do, you will be obeying man rather than God. So obedience, the wife's obedience to her husband, is not slavish obedience to a man, a mindless obedience. It is the obedience that I know who I am.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it for the right reason. Mm-hmm. For what self-respecting man wants to be married to a mindless woman? Now notice, I said self-respecting. What man wants to have a wife that can't think and even question his judgments? Has nothing to do with submission. Has to do with wanting to be sure that God is being honored. Now, of course, I know that there is a lot of men who are not really self-respecting and whose desire is to crush women under their thumb because they are so insecure, they want to have power and the last word. Because their sense of self is so weak. I'm not talking to any man here, am I? So, ladies, you ought to be conscious of your submission. We glorify God by conscious acts. Conscious acts of obedience, knowing that what I'm doing is right, not because my arms are twisted behind me. That's how God is glorified. But the text says that we may be won, the husband may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of their lives. I'm going to draw your attention closer to the text. I want you to underline when they see, and that other statement, your life, the King James Version is conversation. Your life, the translation of the King James Version is conversation. The NIV as I'm reading it is your life. I want you to underline those two thoughts. First, when they see, that is the husband, when they see, the original text is that is that of eyewitnesses. Somebody who is watching. Somebody who is watching. Who is observing what is happening. How many of you wives think your husband don't see anything? You're wrong. He sees a lot more than you think he sees. He knows when to come near. Because he sees your mood. When he walks in the house, he looks at your attitude. You may not think he's watching. You may not even hold his head up. But he senses your attitude. And he knows what you are feeling. Stay away from me, buddy. All right, when they see. The second thing I want you to look at is the word, the idea, the phrase, your life, or the King James Version, conversation. It is the Greek word anastrophe. It's two parts to it. It means up, originally, it means up and down. Up and turn. Over a period of time, the idea of this, your life, or conversation, develops over a process of time. Then it came to mean turning around. And then it came to be moving back and forth. And then it came to be whirling, twisting. And so develop out of those thoughts is the idea of movement, of being observed. The Latin conversere means to turn about. So, in our time, it has come to mean a way of life. Now, let me bring it home for you. You're at home. You're moving from room to room, doing your duty. You're at the kitchen counter peeling potatoes. And then you turn around to the stove and you taste the soup. The phone rings. You reach out on the wall, you grab the phone, you answer the phone. From one thing to the other, you're wheeling around, you're whirling, you are moving from place to place. You're going up and down. Round and round. Now here's the question. In your whirling and turning and twisting, what message are you communicating? You there? Say amen. Let me know you're not sleeping. Somebody's watching now. Not only your husband, your children are watching. They are observing. You have not the foggiest idea what you're doing. You're just moving about like automatic. But your family is watching. They're watching, observing. You're peeling the potato. Are you singing, Jesus loves me? Or are you, I'm doing nothing but a slave around here. I'm burning my fingers to the bone. And nobody cares. Nobody cares. What's going on? How many of you from Jamaica? You remember the song? Woman is a people, grumble too much. Okay. You're moving back and forth. you're grumbling and you're annoyed and you're complaining. And then the phone rings and somebody from the church, "Hi, darling, how are you?" And your husband said, "Hypocrite." And your daughter said, and your son. That's your conversation. That's your conversation. In your world, you are communicating. What is it that you are communicating? You with me? What is the message that they are observing? Are they seeing an admirable attitude or a complaining spirit? You there?
Yeah.
Are they observing an admirable attitude? Not long ago I asked a man, I said to him, "What do you remember of your mother?" And without thinking he said, "Loud." Loud. That's impression. That's impression made on him by his mother. Every last one of you mothers, every last one of you wives are making impressions in everything you do because you are being watched. And you don't even realize it.
Are you pleasant? Are you beautiful and pleasant? Are you miserable and cantankerous? Remember now. Remember who glorifies God. Remember who glorifies God. It's a spiritually attractive woman who communicates an admirable attitude. I can leave that now, can I?
Amen.
All right, go ahead. You're getting too nosy here. Getting into trouble and making saying things you have no business saying. So just go ahead and get it over with. All right. Secondly, spiritually attractive wife or mother glorifies God because she has a winsome spirit. She has a winsome spirit. Verses 3 and 4 of the text. Verses 3 and 4. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Now, what is the Apostle Peter telling ladies? Make sure you don't wear anything beautiful or drab. He's not saying any such thing. As a matter of fact, looking good is good. Being attractive. Over the years in therapy, I've had men who said, "My wife does not take care of what she wears. She wears pants all the time. Blue jeans." She says, "There's nothing attractive unless they are wearing that skinny one that make you look like something else." So it's not saying that you are not to look good or dress in finery. What the text is saying is that true beauty is not in expensive extravagance. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
True beauty does not lie in expensive and extravagant finery.
Let me tell you what the text say what this statement means. And I'm quoting from Vincent in his The Word Studies of the Greek. And he says, the Roman women of the day were addicted to ridiculous extravagance in the adornment of their hair. So great is the trouble she takes in the quest of beauty. With so many tears does she load upon her head, with so many continual stories that she build up on high her head. She is tall as Andromeda in front. Behind she is shorter. You would think her another person. The hair was dyed and secured with costly pins and with nets of gold thread. False hair and blonde wigs were worn. That's what happened in those days. That's why the Apostle Peter is telling us you shouldn't imitate. I grew up in the time when we had the false doctrine of saying black women should not press their hair. I grew up in that time. I'm a little older. I won't tell you my age, but I grew up in those days when there was a restriction of black women using curling iron or hot iron. I even hear the ridiculous thing is that you should not change the old landmark as though the woman was a pig in the corner of a lot. That's not what the text is saying. What the text is saying, $1,000 handbag is not right. That's what the text is saying. You want to bring it home? A Gucci handbag for anybody in here is sinful. That's what the text is saying. We want to go by and spend $1,000 for a handbag that make no sense. $1,500 for a pair of shoes. The text is saying that's not beauty. That's extravagance. Hope I'm not talking to anybody. But beauty, you must take care. Dress yourself. Look nice the way you look this Mother's Day. Attractive and beautiful. For godly women should not indulge in these external excesses to feel beautiful. Rather, they should strive. The striving should be... Now look at the text with me. The next verse, verse 4. Should be that of your inner self. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. I like the King James puts it this way. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, great price. Amen. The hidden man of the heart. What is the apostle saying to us is that, ladies, you should strive to be beautiful inside. Amen. You should strive to be beautiful inside. You should strive to have a winsome spirit, which is a meek and quiet spirit. Now, of course, our modern understanding of meekness is weakness. Yes. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. You see, meekness in the Bible is that I know I have the power to do something, but I choose not to. I have the power to claim my rights, but for the good of everyone concerned, I will not take my right.
I don't have to listen to this man,
half-educated man, if he educated at all.
I don't have to listen to him. I'm not going to let him dominate me.
But because you love the Lord, you listen to him. That's a meek and quiet spirit. That's a winsome spirit. Remember this. Had the Lord Jesus Christ claimed his right, he didn't have to die.
He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free.
But he died alone for you and me.
He gave up his rights because that's the only way we could be saved.
That's true Christian submission. You didn't know that? Amen. Regardless of what you think about your husband, regardless of whether or not you think he's an alcoholic, he might not be here because he might be unsaved. Some of you might have unsaved husbands who probably is half drunk this morning. So you say, who's going to listen to that drunken bum? You must submit to him.
Yeah.
What is the goal? To win him for Christ. To win him for Christ.
Your husband, you may be fortunate enough to be sitting in church with your husband, who is a saved man and who loves the Lord. You may not find any problem, a whole lot of problem, but still there are women who just have a thing about submission. Your husband could be an angel. But you are determined that no man is going to run his shot over you. No man is going to take advantage of you. And though he is as sweet as spy,
you wouldn't give him the time of day. Because you have a problem with yourself. You have a winsome spirit, ladies? Hear me. A meek and quiet spirit, or a winsome spirit, which communicates unfading beauty of the inner self, is not quiet desperation, which causes anxiety and confusion. That's not a meek and quiet spirit. That's an angry spirit.
It is not a silent treatment which manifests itself in ignoring or slighting your husband.
I'm not even going to answer that fool. But you go out and spend money you don't have because you're so frustrated and pent up. So you sabotage it because you're so angry. That's not a winsome spirit, is it? That's not a winsome spirit. A meek and quiet spirit
communicates a winsome spirit
is a spirit that is willing to open itself and treat your mate with the honor and respect that he deserves by virtue of the fact that he's your husband. Not because he earns it. Not because he earns it. But because he is the head of your home. You sit down here and say, what head?
The binder, man. I have nothing to say. Sit there, watch television, and
and football, and the man has nothing, so the kids tear up the place, and the man is, what hell are you talking about? Well, is it possible you could help him to be the hair?
Husband was upstairs doing some work, and the wife was downstairs working with the kids, doing homework. And she needed the husband's help. She called upstairs. Let's call him Harry. Hope no Harry's here. Harry! Harry! What are you doing up here? Come down here! I'm talking about a Christian woman. You gotta win some spirit. Harry comes down. Harry came down. But he was resentful. Resentful. Fortunately, he's saved. If he wasn't saved, you think that spirit could win him for Christ? You with me, ladies? Okay. I know this. A meek and quiet spirit is what? Of what? What the text says? Great worth in the sight of God. God is glorified. God is glorified. By a meek and quiet spirit, a winsome spirit. We all like to have that spirit, don't you? But something some of you are saying, buddy, if I try to have that spirit, he would take me take advantage of me. You wouldn't realize what he would do to me. I know all the argument. I've been a therapist for 35 years. I know all the argument. But let's go to my last thought. Spiritually attractive wife or mother glorifies God because she displays holy confidence. Holy confidence. Verses 5 and 6. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. Did you see that? The emphasis is on holy women. Because you see, women of all ages and cultures and religion have often always tried to make themselves beautiful. In their own way. But this is the way of holy women. You see the difference? This is not the way of Madison Avenue. This is not the way of Hollywood. This is not the way of the model of business. This is not the way of how the world thinks. How about a $3,000 dress with half of it cut out, leaving a little bit that's covering the behind? The world says that is beauty. And God says, no holy woman would dress that way. I've gone to church banquet. I've gone to church banquet. And I've seen Christian women with their dress cut way down to their, almost to their buttocks. Half thing up here with a stove hanging out. No holy woman would dress that way. You still there?
Yeah.
Good. The motivation for the emphasis in female beauty has to do with what a woman thinks of herself. The holy woman of the past could be submissive
to their husband and acknowledge their leadership because their identity was not in question. No, ma'am.
No, sir.
They did not see submission to their husband as depriving them of who they are or reducing their womanhood. They were submissive to their own husband, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called her master, because they didn't feel that they would be the lesser for it.
No, they were confident. And then the rest of the statements to the verse says, you are their daughters. That is the daughter of holy women like Sarah. If you do what is right and do not give way to fear. If you are able to serve your family without fretting, without worrying about being taken advantage of, then you are the daughters of holy women.
Your wholeness or wholesomeness in Christ should be the basis on which you relate to your family. A retaliatory spirit is a sign of insecurity. It is trying to make sure that the other person doesn't get away with something.
That's weakness. That's not strength. Your husband's attitude should not determine yours. Because you are a holy woman.
Amen.
You should have the inner confidence that you are doing what you're doing, you're submitting, because you know who you are in Christ.
It is the holy boldness which enables a woman to serve God through quiet strength, which is attractive and beautiful. Show me a beautiful woman, and I see a woman of personal strength who can do the right thing for the right reason.
It is the liberating power of Jesus Christ. Paul's letter to the Colossians, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God through him.
I come to tell you that God is glorified when there is strength,
amen,
confidence, holy boldness that you can give of yourself without fear or doubt or anxiety. You can give yourself away because you know that nobody can reduce you to anything you don't want to be reduced to. Lord Jesus Christ was in the upper room. The disciples were sitting there. They were contemplating. It was time to do the purifying, the washing of the feet. Because they were walking up and down the street in sandals. And it is the thing to do, to wash their feet before they sit at meal. And Peter look around and he says, well, the basin is there and the water is there and the toilet is there, but I'm going to be prime minister, so I'm not going to touch that nobody's feet. I'm not going to wash these guys' feet. John says, I'm going to be a minister of government. I'm going to be the secretary of state. What do you think is going to happen if they see me washing their feet? Later on, they're going to remember and say, remember, you are a foot washer. Jesus knew what we were thinking. He got up, he put a towel around his waist, he took the basin and he poured water in it, and he went and he stooped down and he washed their feet.
Amen.
The Lord of glory. Because nobody can take anything from him.
Nobody can reduce him to anything. He is the Lord of glory who came down to where we live and serve us. Become our servant. That's power.
Amen.
That's power. Power to do what you know is the right thing to do, regardless of the circumstance. I'm going to close. I knew a woman.
Who glorified God in her role as a mother and a wife. She had an admirable disposition, seeing how she treated her alcoholic husband. She had a winsome spirit in how she communicated her desire for God. And a holy boldness in the manner in which she served her family. And even though her husband was an alcoholic, and even though he was even sometimes abusive, this woman loved the Lord with all her heart, and she served God, and she communicated a holy boldness that brought her husband to faith in later years. That woman was my mother.
Amen.
If I have any love for the word, it comes from my mother. If I have a desire to know God better, it came from my mother. If my heart's desire is to be like Jesus, it came from my mother. Who glorified God in her less than ideal situation and made a lasting impact on her children. That God is to be glorified regardless of our circumstances. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. With every head bow and your eyes closed, I want to say something to you ladies. Some of you may even be a little angry with me. That's all right. Because I stir up feelings, press my finger on hurts. Because you have been abused. You have been abused by father. You have been abused by uncle. You have been abused by husband. You have been abused by men in your life. And the idea of submitting to them is a very hard thing for you today. And as much as you would like to be a woman with an admirable attitude, a woman with a winsome spirit, a woman who has holy boldness, yet something is holding you back. Something is in the way. You know what is in the way? Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. You can't move on because deep down the hurt is so raw. You are so angry. You are still so resentful. You can't move on. You are stagnated spiritually. You love the Lord, but deep down you are so hurt. You can't go on. May I invite you today to lay it at the cross. I invite you today to lay it all at the cross. To ask the Lord to forgive you
No, not abuser, but to forgive you. To forgive you for not being able to let go. Forgive you for having held on. To forgive you for having nursed your grudges and your hurt. You're stagnating. How many of you here this morning will raise your hand and say, pray for me, I'm struggling. Pray for me. I need prayer. I need help. I need the intervention of God in my life. Raise your hand above your head, ladies. Oh, God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you. The others of you who are struggling. Others of you who are struggling. Let me see that hand. Some of you don't know why you can't move forward. You don't know why. You just know that you're so angry. So frustrated. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do right there. With your head bowed, you have to ask the Lord, Lord, forgive me of my unwillingness to be set free. That's a tough prayer. Because right now you're reacting. I'm not unwilling to be set free. I just can't let go. Well, it is because of deep down there's an unwillingness to let go. It's the sin of your own heart that is holding you hostage. If you will be honest before God today, He will break the bondage and set you free. You can leave here today with a new spirit, with a peace, with a joy in your heart. So ask the Lord, Lord, give me the willingness to let go. Unclench my hands. Give me a soft heart. Give me the spirit of forgiveness so that I can be free. And our Father, O God, we come on behalf the many who are struggling here today. You know their hearts. You know what they have been through. You know the difficulties. You know the hardships. You know the hurt and the pain they are nursing. We ask even now, lay your nail-scarred hands upon their lives. Give them the willingness to trust you, to let go and to be forgiven. Give them the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, give them the joy of the Lord. Yeah. So that they will no longer live in bondage to the hurt, but they will be free. While your heads are still bowed, I have one more request. I wonder how many of you here this morning, ladies or men, you have never trusted Christ as your Savior. Would you raise your hand and say, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior, but I'd love to trust Him today. I would like to ask Jesus Christ to become my Savior and my Lord. Is there one here today? Anywhere in this congregation, in this audience? Is there one who would be saved today? Trust the Savior. Who will leave here a new creation. Yeah. A new creation. Jesus Christ to come into your heart and set you free. Father, there is one here today. Maybe afraid. Maybe ashamed. Maybe reluctant. Oh, we pray that if you have brought conviction to any heart, bring deliverance to that heart. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.